You are listening to Covenant Eyes Radio, helping you to stay safe and pure online. The internet and digital media are full of advantages, but there is often a price we pay when we don't have the discipline to unplug. Teens will often spend over 30 hours a week online, and nearly one-third of teens say being unplugged from technology actually makes them feel more stressed. Is there such a thing as too much digital technology? And what is more time online really costing us? Helping us to understand this issue today is my special guest, Dr. Albert Moeller, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Moeller was recognized by Time magazine as the reigning intellectual of the evangelical movement in the U.S., and is the author of many books on Christianity and culture. Today, Dr. Moeller talks to us about the need for Christian families to be deliberate about the time they spend with digital and social media.
What happens to the soul when it is always connected to worldly relationships and concerns? With every technology, it's like a scissor. There are two edges, and one of them brings opportunity, and the other one robs us of time. And finding the right balance is a key Christian discipline for our age.
Dr. Moeller, you've been tracking these articles that recently been published in the New York Times about some of the pitfalls of digital technology and the challenges that digital technology is presenting to the American family. Often when parents are told about dangers on the internet, the focus is on the content, things like violence or sensuality or pornography being piped into their homes. But obviously that's still a cause for great concern. But more and more people are also starting to raise concerns about not just about the content of the internet, but the prevalence of digital technology in their lives in general. Do you think that there is a cause for concern about this today?
Well, I certainly do. I've been writing and speaking a lot about this because of that sense of urgency. You know, what has happened in the last 20 years in general, but most particularly in even less than the last decade, has been this massive intrusion into our lives of digital media and technology and social media in particular. These have brought many good things. And there is no doubt that we now organize our lives, at least in part, around these technologies. They are now so prevalent in the culture that, for instance, the Twitter feed has replaced headline news as the way to find out what's going on in the world.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, human connectivity has been greatly enhanced by social media like Facebook and all the rest. But what hasn't been taken into account is what this does to our lives, and as Christians, what it does in particular to our spiritual lives. It's easy to, first of all, document the moral dangers that are clear with violence, pornography. I mean, after all, Facebook has become a way of facilitating adultery, and that's become a major crisis in many areas because you can have parallel relationships and conversations that quite frankly, you know, previously were limited by time and space, and the digital world has largely collapsed that. But I'm thinking also about what happens to the soul when it is always connected to worldly relationships and concerns. There has to be space in our lives for quiet and for reading. The Christian faith has been associated with growth by reading from the very beginning. And that goes back into deep Jewish roots. Judaism was one of the first movements toward world literacy because it was important that a father teach his son how to read the Torah, the law of God. Then you come to the New Testament, you have the Apostle Paul saying, bring the books and the parchments. And the Word of God itself, the Bible, is a literary form. It's a book that we read. It is words. And the reality of so many lives is that there is no time left for reading, for the solitude and for the experience of sitting alone with a book, or this is something a lot of people will note, for the enjoyment of a conversation with a real live human being. And, you know, it's not uncommon these days to hear of parents who largely keep in touch with their children by social media, of brothers and sisters who text each other from one bedroom to the next when they could be having a conversation.
Yeah.
You got teenagers that are sending 3,500 text messages and more a month. And, of course, in this case, you've got the parents who are often coming right behind. And let's face it, for a lot of parents, technologies have always been something like an electronic babysitter. And, you know, it just in terms of of demanding attention. The television these days is often on, but where the kids are really giving their attention is to the smartphone or to the laptop or the iPad, excuse me.
Yeah, it reminds me of the old adage, the medium is the message, and the idea that really it's not just the content of the media that is the issue. It's actually the prevalence of the media itself and how it is displacing other things in our life that if the media wasn't there, if that medium wasn't there, then there might be those other things in place. We hear
every technology puts a demand upon us. When you buy a car, you're buying more than a car. You're buying a responsibility to maintain it. You're buying a car as a focus of your attention. You're buying a car which you're going to have to find a place to park. Every technology comes with advantages, but it also comes with a demand upon us. Well, you consider the demand of social media. We now have a generation of young people who are literally afraid not to be connected. They fear being disconnected from their social environment, and so they put the cell phone on the pillow in the bed with them at night just because they're afraid of missing something. There's a feeling that many adults have of guilt if we are not right on top of our emails and text messages and all the rest. And so these technologies come with enormous demands that are often invisible to us. But if you really want to see what's going on here, all you have to do is think of Christmas and think of being with your extended family and think of how many people were just trying to sneak away for just a few minutes to check their email or to check their Twitter feed or to go post something on Facebook. And you walk into a room and there are 15 people and 11 of them are looking at different digital instruments. The common conversation suffers.
Yeah.
And that's just one picture of the crisis of our age.
You know, there's a debate going on right now about this, about how healthy social media is for us. I read a report came out last November about it was from the University of Texas in Austin called "Got Facebook Investigating What's Social About Social Media." The authors of the study, they concluded that social media has not made human beings less social, nor has it supplanted face-to-face interactions between family and friends, but that it's affording us new opportunities and new expressions of friendship. So would you agree with this, especially in the light of what others have been saying about today's teens especially being this hyper-socialized generation?
Yeah, I find that kind of report very suspicious for one fundamental reason. If you just skip from the research base to your living room, you're likely to find a very different story. You know, if we all have smartphones in our hands, are we actually enhancing our engagement with each other in the room? I think the answer to that is pretty obvious. And I think, you know, there was a major front page story in the New York Times just recently in which you had a high school assistant principal talking about a 17-year-old boy, and he was being disciplined for using his cell phone in class. And as the assistant principal is disciplining this boy, he looks at him, and he's got the cell phone in his hand now. He said, they think of it as necessary as oxygen. You know, it's as necessary for their lives as breathing. The idea of being disconnected is almost impossible for them to contemplate.
Yeah, I've read some other studies that talk about how there actually is a sense of almost like a withdrawal symptoms
absolutely.
That come from being disconnected. I know the New York Times did their unplugged experiment where they just asked people to, for a weekend or a week, disconnect from their favorite, you know, digital devices or digital mediums, whatever they may be, whether it's Facebook, whether it's their, you know, their email, whether it's their cell phone. And people experienced not only a lot of positive things, but initially there was this sense of almost being jittery or stressed about the entire experience because they couldn't imagine what their lives would be like separated from these digital devices.
Absolutely. And that's the world we live in. It's the world in which the digital devices are there. And a part of the artificiality of trying to do without them is we know we can get back to them. And I do not want to eradicate them.
Sure.
I mean, just for the cause of the gospel, there have been tremendous avenues opened by means of digital media. I'm very thankful for the fact that I can stay in touch with some distant members of my family by means of social media that would be otherwise almost invisible to me on on a weekly or a monthly basis. But with every technology, there is it's like a scissor. There are two edges, and one of them brings opportunity, and the other one robs us of time. And finding the right balance is a key Christian discipline for our age.
How do you find balance then? What do you think about that? For the whether it's the you know the just the person who's constantly plugged into their Facebook or Twitter feed or whatever. What do you tell the Christian about finding that kind of balance?
Well, I think that there are some basic issues that are common to us all, and then some that probably have to be more individually negotiated. But for one thing, parents need to parent. And the most vulnerable are the young in terms of overuse of this digital media. You know, if after all you're having to work 8 hours, you know, on your feet in a job, you're probably less likely to be just attentive to this. If you're having to run, the kids to the soccer, practice and another one to piano practice, you may not have the same opportunity as kids have. But parents need to set clear limits. Parents need to make sure that the cell phones stay in the kitchen and are charged overnight and that they are not in the bedroom with the teenager or the child at night. There should be no internet-accessible computer in a child's bedroom or a teenager's bedroom. That's just inviting not only the visitation of the wrong kinds of sites, but the dependence of the wrong kind of technology for entertainment and for the devotion of time. Parents need to make very clear when we eat, we're eating. We're talking to each other. We need to put a priority on family meals, and when we're talking to each other, we don't do this. If we need to check digital media because something's going on, all right, we're all going to right now just check it. Now we're going to, but we're not going to do that at the table. We're not going to do that while we eat. And while we eat, we're going to work at conversation. Parents are going to ask children questions and make them actually articulate. there needs to be a return to parents being the main agents, Christian parents in particular, of socializing their own children and teenagers. And that starts in the home.
Absolutely.
And then parents, we need those kind of limitations as well. We need to know when it's appropriate to have a computer and when it's not. And I think there are just some very clear kinds of warning signals. If we're sitting in a room and everyone, we're a family, we're sitting in the family room and you look and everybody's got a laptop open and everyone's connected to some device that's internet connected, we've got a problem. If we're communicating with each other primarily through social media, we got a problem. And so I don't think there's an easy answer to everyone here. I think that it's tempting for many parents to think, all right, my kid's not going to have a cell phone, my kid's not going to have this. But we're living in an age in which most parents think that their children need a cell phone at some point just for safety's sake, so that they can be accessible. And so there are all kinds of issues that come into this, but sanity has to prevail.
You have been listening to the first part of our interview with Dr. Albert Moeller. Next week, we continue our discussion with Dr. Moeller about how parents should relate to children and how husbands and wives should relate to one another around the issue of how the internet and digital technology are used. For more information about Dr. Moeller's ministry, visit albertmoeller.com. I am your host, Luke Gilkerson. For more of our podcasts, look for Covenant Eyes on iTunes or go to the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog.